time, and the rest of us can take our Bibles and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. So junior church are dismissed, and 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles 17, 18, 19, 20. We'll not read every verse just because of the time, but this is a story. I read it in my Bible reading this week, and I remembered it throughout the week, and here we are today. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 1. And Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, and I do not know, let me just say, I don't know that he ever did jump. But I've heard of jumping Jehoshaphat. But Jehoshaphat was the son of Asa, who was a good man, but died lousy. And Jehoshaphat probably saw the results of his father's foolishness at the end of his life. And Jehoshaphat was raised well, I'm sure, for the most part. And so we see Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, which was the northern kingdom. The kingdom had split. There was a civil war. And Israel split, and so there was Judah in the south, Israel in the north. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, with which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. The northern kingdom was very wicked. A man by the name of Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought in Jehoshaphat presents, and brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor and abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. And also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zabadiah, and Asahel, and Shemarmoth, it's hard to say that, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that there were around about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Let's pray, and we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for opportunity now to open the Bible, to read your word. Help us to be calm in our demeanor, calm in our listening ability to hear from your word, that our minds would be calm and our attention would be focused on you and what your word has to say. Help us to hear from your word. May it be listened to and understood, and may you guide and direct in everything that's done and said. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jehoshaphat, first of all, I want to say, letter A, Jehoshaphat, the backslider. Jehoshaphat, the backslider. Backsliding is not good. It means you're going backwards. And he was off to a good start, as we read in chapter 17. I mean, he really took off well and began very strongly and did run well. But in chapter 18, we see some things here that were not a good thing. But he was highly honored in chapter 17. He was greatly encouraged. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to know that, boy, God's blessing and everything is just, you know, you're on cloud nine. But you know what? There's going to come some temptations and some trials. There's going to come some struggles and testings in our life. And in chapter 18, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And let me just stop and say that usually my problem is associated with that right there. When I am comfortable and I have riches and honor in abundance, I'm usually not very aware of my spiritual condition. Am I the only one? Usually, because if I've got everything, if I can take care of my problems because I got money in my pocket, if I can take care of my, if everything's, I usually am not walking as close to the Lord as I should. I usually am starting to get somewhat self-confident, maybe even arrogant, to the point where I'm not praying about everything because I'm assuming that, you know what, God can, you know, God can sit this one out. I can probably figure this out myself. I don't need to ask God for any help. Is that a good thing? But you know, that's usually what happens when we're comfortable and we're self-sufficient, we think. So in chapter 18, verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. The last phrase of that verse is absolutely mind-boggling. If you know anything about Ahab, Ahab is like the worst guy in the world. I mean, Ahab, if you've read the Word of God, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, all right? I mean, Ahab and Jezebel. Nobody names their children Ahab and Jezebel, all right? Maybe your dog is named Ahab or Jezebel, but not your children. It's just, and so what in the world? He and joined affinity with Ahab. After certain years, he went down to Ahab, to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab said, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Now, let me stop here and say that this is a problem. Verse 1 at the end says, he joined affinity with Ahab. When I read that, I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it until I started studying it, but he joined affinity. All right, so he made an agreement. He went on a picnic together. No, it's more than that. He just had a little powwow with him. No, it's more than that. And I don't know what all the reasons are behind this, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through the end of the chapter, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? We should never be unequally yoked. We should never allow ourselves to be in alliances with people who are not Christian. It doesn't mean that we don't reach out to people who are not Christian. How else do we, people need the Lord? How else do we reach them? Of course we're to talk to people, communicate with people, and to share and preach the gospel to people, and to share with them the good news of salvation. But we never make permanent joined affinities. And you can apply that to many different areas. And you read that and say, well, what exactly does that mean? Well, I won't take you there. But if you go into chapter 21, you realize that Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's what it meant by joined affinities. He allowed his son to marry Ahab's daughter. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, Jezebel is not going to raise a good daughter. All right? Her name was Athaliah. Athaliah later on killed all of Jehoshaphat's sons and grandsons so that she could be the queen. All right? Jehoshaphat, this was not good. Now, I will say this. My children are not married yet. I'm not looking forward to the bozo my daughter's going to marry. All right? I hope it's going to be God's will. I pray that it is God's will, that it is the one that God has for her. The same thing, not only with my daughter, but with my sons, marrying the right girl. Why? Because that will have an effect on me in some way, but more importantly, it will have an effect on them, and more importantly, it will have an effect on how God is portrayed and how they demonstrate God in their lives. It is so important that we don't, but see, this is Israel. I mean, these are kind of like us. Listen, kind of like is not like. And don't be unequally yoked together. Watch out for this. There might be people in here that say, you know what? I should have listened years ago when someone told me, don't get attached to this person because I ended up marrying someone who's not saved and I've regretted that decision every day of my life. Listen, I don't mean to bring up those past issues if you have that in your life, but you should be able to say to the young girls and the young guys here, don't fall for someone you shouldn't fall for. Athaliah was no good for his son. He should have never even allowed his son to get to know Athaliah. But here they now are joined affinity. And that's why he says, I am as thou art. Your people are my people. And it was foolish. It was wrong. Now, Jehoshaphat says, yeah, well, I'll go to war with you. And verse 5, verse 4, he says, can we inquire and ask the Lord about this? Now, let me just stop and say, Ahab is not a prayer, okay? Ahab could care less what God thinks. But Jehoshaphat says, you know, I want to ask, do you have some preachers around here we could talk to? I want to find out what God thinks about this idea of going to war. And I'm not going to take the time to read you this story because of the sake of time. But Ahab says, well, I got about 400 guys. And we'll bring them in and they'll tell us what God says. So he gets in like these 400 different prophets. And they all walk in and they all say, you can win. You can defeat them. And basically they tell Ahab exactly what Ahab wants to hear. You know something? There's a lot of preachers like that. You can buy preachers like that. They're preachers for sale right now. You can have one if you want one. If you pay him enough, he'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. There's lots of preachers that way. And so Jehoshaphat listens to these 400 men. We're going to have victory. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get rid of the enemy. It's going to be great. And Jehoshaphat's going, you know, something just doesn't sound right. And so he says to Ahab, do you have anybody else besides these guys? And Ahab says, well, there's this other guy. But I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear. Jehoshaphat says, can we listen to him? And they bring in one of my favorite Old Testament preachers. His name is Micaiah. Micaiah comes in and Ahab says, all right, Micaiah, we want to know if we're supposed to go to war. Micaiah says, have at it. Go for it. Turns around and starts to walk away. Ahab says, don't lie to me. I know that's not the right message. Ahab said that. Micaiah said, you're right. It's not. He said, Micaiah says, I saw a vision in heaven. And God allowed an evil spirit to come down and be a lying spirit in all these prophets to tell you you're going to have victory. But the truth is, you ain't even going to come back alive. And Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and says, see, he never tells me what I want to hear. You know what? If God's man doesn't tell you what you want to hear, you know what you're supposed to do? Get right. Listen. And Ahab says, I'm throwing you into prison and you ain't getting any food or water. You ain't getting nothing till I come back home. You're not getting out of prison. Micaiah says, I guess I ain't getting out of prison then because you're not coming back alive. And then Micaiah yells as they drag him out, be aware, everybody. And they drag him out. It's the last time you hear about Micaiah. But he was a man of God who said the truth. What I bring that up for is Jehoshaphat sitting there watching all this. Can you read between the lines and see that Jehoshaphat's saying, I just don't know. I mean, 400 are saying it's a great idea, but there's something inside Jehoshaphat. See, when you're right with God and you've experienced truth and you know what truth looks like and you know what being right with God looks like, when you get wrong with God, you know what sounds right and what doesn't sound right. It's kind of like being an expert with counterfeit money. You know how you be an expert with counterfeit money? You get to know what real money looks like and feels like. And Jehoshaphat knew what truth was. We read chapter 17. He was blessed of God. Jehoshaphat knew what the right was. But now he's slipping, see? And so now that he's slipping, he's saying, I mean, it sounds good, but there's just something that's not right. Do you have somebody else? And Micaiah says, I think Jehoshaphat, oh boy, sure I'm glad he didn't say I wasn't coming back alive. So then after Micaiah gets dragged off to prison, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, I'll tell you what, you stay dressed up like a king, and I'm going to disguise myself as like a regular soldier. And that way, all the people will think you're me, and they won't know who I am. Now, by the way, when you're backslidden, you're also pretty stupid. Because I don't know why Jehoshaphat thought this was a good idea. You know? Okay. Paint the target king across the front of me. And that's exactly what they did. So Ahab's dressed up like a regular soldier, and Jehoshaphat, he's the target, you know? And he's up there. And sure enough, all of the enemies of Israel said, we're not going after anybody but the king of Israel. That's who we want to kill and destroy. And so that's what we're going after. And so it says here, and I'm just going to grab here chapter number 18 and verse number 29. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go out to the battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went out to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. We got one beef, and that's what they have. I don't care who else you kill, I just want to kill Ahab, the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. And so now he's surrounded. And it says, Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. You see, when you're not right with the Lord, you get backslidden, and you become unequally yoked. Because here's the thing, when you're not right with God, and you've got to hang around people who aren't right with God. You can't hang around people that are right with God. And so then after a while, you hang around people that aren't right with God, and you're not satisfied with the message you're getting. It's not feeding you. It's not jiving. And you become a shame. I mean, here's this guy. He's riding in the chair. He gets surrounded by the enemy, and he goes, ah! You wimp. I mean, I picture Jehoshaphat just kind of screaming like a girl. Ah! Not a valiant warrior, but scared to death because he's not where he's supposed to be. You know, I can tell you right now, when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I am easily scared. When I am not where I'm supposed to be, I'm a coward. But when I know where I'm supposed to be, it doesn't matter what's coming. God provides for me a courage that I don't naturally have. And, by the way, was Micaiah the preacher right? Yeah, this is great. At the end of chapter 18, some random soldier in the Syrian army takes a bow and arrow and just flings it. And it nails Ahab. And he dies in his chariot and never makes it home alive. Now, that was Jehoshaphat the backslider. We laughed at Jehoshaphat, and we laughed at his foolishness. But you know what? Jehoshaphat's not the only one that's ever been a backslider. Jehoshaphat's not the only one that's ever messed up and got unequally yoked and got himself in a situation he should have never been in, is he? Secondly, I want you to look at Jehoshaphat the overcomer. Chapter 19, verse 1. And Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. It was a close call. By the way, praise the Lord for the close calls. And wake up when you get them. And Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him, another preacher, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is the wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He gets a message from God. He gets a rebuke from the preacher. What are you doing helping the ungodly? God's wrath is on you for that. Now he also gets encouragement from the preacher. Verse 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord. Now, what happens next is very important. Jehoshaphat listened to the preacher. He listened to the rebuke, and he listened to the encouragement. And I can say, because I am a preacher, that rebuking is not the only thing we like to do. We want to encourage. But we can't encourage wrong. But we want to encourage, listen, do right, and rebuke the wrong. Now, here's verse 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. He traveled from one end of his kingdom to the other. And he said, hey, I need to bring you back. I've messed up. My own family's been goofing around with Ahab's family. I've allowed my kids to get involved with stuff they should have never been involved in. And now I'm just going around all over town and all over the villages and all over the country. And I'm just saying, we need to get right with God. I had a close call. Our nation had a close call. We need to get right with God. And he encouraged others to be restored to God. When you get right with the Lord, you start to realize how much you've affected other people. One of the biggest problems with backslidden Christians is how selfish they are. We don't stop to realize how much we're affecting other people. Dad, when you go off into sin, you don't just affect yourself. You might pay for a lot of things over yourself, but I'm going to tell you right now, your wife, your kids, they're paying for it too. Not only that, your neighborhood, your church. Backsliders really cause a lot of damage they don't even know about. And Jehoshaphat's going throughout the kingdom and he's saying, hey, I was wrong, and I'm here to tell you as your king, we need to get back to the Lord. Verse 5, and he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Well, wouldn't we like to see some judges get a lecture like that? Listen to me, you do what God tells you to do. God has no respect of persons. God doesn't take bribes and gifts. You do what God says to do. He's not like you and I. I've taken bribes and I've taken gifts from Ahab and I've chummed up with somebody I shouldn't have been. But God doesn't do that and he's not going to allow you to do it either. You judges need to be warned. And then he goes to the priests, the ministers, in verse 8. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And so he warns the judges in his land, and he warns the ministers, you obey God, and you do right, and don't fail from it. Look at chapter 8, 19, verse 11. Behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you, in all matters of the Lord. And Zedekiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. He said, these two guys are in charge of the matters of the Lord, the matters of the king's house. Also, the Levites shall be officers before you. And then he says this at the end of chapter 19, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. I wonder if God's looking down right now and saying, is there anybody being courageous? Is there anyone that wants to do, is there anyone that has the courage to obey me? I got a feeling that God's so starved for some courageous people that if he found one that was, he'd just dump it on you. You know what I mean? Is there anyone that's just standing up and saying, this is not right, we need to get right? That's what Joshua is saying. Look, deal courageously and God will do right with the good. God will take care of those who are doing right by him. You do right and be courageous. And so he seeks the restoration of others. And he warns them, and he encourages them. So then chapter 20. Came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them their other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan's Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 3 is so special. And Jehoshaphat feared and sent out messages to Ahab, or to Ahab's son, and sent out messages to Jezebel, and sent out messages to Egypt and sent out messages to everybody he could find to come take care of his problem. That's not what it says. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and to fast and told everyone else to fast and pray. Starting off good, isn't he? This is the right way Jehoshaphat should be. In verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now listen to Jehoshaphat's prayer, verses 5 and following. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in the heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. And here's what they said. Verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know what he's doing right there? He's rehearsing what was prayed in that same temple a few years back, about 30, 40, 50 years back. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Jehoshaphat saying, God, you said, your promise was that if we turned to you, you would take care of us. God, there are enemies that are at our door, and we don't know how to defeat them. We need your help, God, and we're going to you because you said if there was a problem, we should come to you, and we're going to you right now. Verse 10, and now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, of whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when we came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them. Now, behold, I say how they reward us. Look what they're doing to us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. I'm going to read that last two phrases in verse 12. We don't have any might. I didn't pick the songs today, but we sang, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by might. Have you ever gotten to the point where you realize, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough friends, I don't have enough muscle to fix my problem? You know what? If you're at that point, it doesn't mean God hates you. It just means God's waiting for you to go. Look up. I'll take care of it. Just look at me. And Jehoshaphat, look at the difference. Look at the difference between Jehoshaphat now and the Jehoshaphat from a few chapters ago. God, we don't have the ability to do this. We can't fix this ourselves. And we don't know what to do. I know us guys, we always know what to do. I'm going to tell you something. You're more spiritual when you admit you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But I know someone who does know what to do. I don't always know what to do. But I know someone who does know. And so what does he say at the end of verse 12? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I think up in heaven, I'm just using my imagination, but I think up in heaven, I think God went, did you hear that? That was awesome. Woo! It's been a long time since I've heard that. We're going to fix that. Verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And here's what happened. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God's letting you know that he's going to handle this one. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. You can leave your stuff at home if you want. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. He did not say, I knew it. I'm so right with God, he just had to come through when I asked. No, he bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. When God answers your prayer, do you do that? God, I didn't deserve that. I can't believe the awesome answer you just gave me. I didn't deserve it. By the way, had it happened yet? Had God actually done the job yet? But he believed him. He believed him. Verse 19, the Levites and the children of Kohathites and of all the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They all just sang and praised God for the answer. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Let me stop right here and say, if you're not saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here today and you are not a believer, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, not only to believe on the Lord, but it says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. You say, well, you're saying that because you're a preacher. I'm saying that because I'm supposed to. Now, I know there's a lot of false prophets today. I know there are. But do you think that nowhere on planet Earth there are any good prophets of the Lord right now? Do you think that right now there are no good men of God right now? I don't think so. And so when a man of God is preaching the word of God, just believe it and do it. Listen. He says, believe God and believe his men. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. He preached to them a sermon, then he put together a choir and said, I want you to praise God. And listen to what it says in verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise, God's up in heaven. Did you hear that prayer? Did you see that humble heart bowing his face to the earth? I'm telling you, we got to do something for that guy. He deserves it. That guy right there is making me look real good. Wait, what's that? Do you hear them singing? We're going now. Hey, did you know God wants to hear you sing? Listen to me. I know some of you have... You say, I don't sing good. I know you don't sing good. I've heard you. But God said, make a joyful noise. Don't you know what singing's really for? Singing is not for the person next door. Singing's for him. And it says, as soon as they started singing and praising, boom, God said, I can't hold back any longer. That's it. God's heart was so swollen with love for these people who were praising him and singing to him. And so in verse 22, as soon as they began to sing and to praise the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one of them helped to destroy another. They just all started killing each other. God did it. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. It was work just to get all the jewels and riches off of these people. 3 days. Verse 26, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka. The word Beraka means blessing. They named this valley the Valley of Blessing. Because they got all those riches? No. Verse 26, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. It wasn't the Valley of Blessing because they got blessed. It was the Valley of Blessing because there they blessed the Lord. I'm sure for 3 days. Can you believe this? Singing. Praise. Look what God did. Well, I didn't even bring my weapon with me. And I stand up on the tower, I look down, they're all, God did it. God took care and blessed the Lord. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. We are so accustomed to singing, God bless America. We need to sing, America bless God. That's what we need to be doing. America bless God. And I don't know about everybody else in America, but you and I need to be blessing the Lord. There's not one thing that you can't think of something to bless God for, to praise God for. To stop and say, praise God for who He is and what He has done in my life. And the very fact that when I was so foolish and backslidden, He didn't allow me to be killed. And the fact that He's given me second chance and third chance and fourth chance and fifth chance. And the fact that He's willing and able to destroy and defeat the enemy. Bless God! And praise God. We see blessing and we think it's supposed to be about us. Do you know that up there He wants blessing? And did you know that He's the one that deserves it? And here's what I know. When God's blessed with me, I'm blessed. When God's blessed with me, I'm blessed. And everybody around me is blessed. Do you see how important it is to bless the Lord? He wasn't a blessing to the Lord when He was fooling around with Ahab. He wasn't a blessing for the Lord when He was doing stuff. But when He got right with God and He went person to person, door to door, and said, "We got to get right with God. Me too. I'm telling you, I've got to get right with God. My family's got to get right. We've got to get right with God, and God will take care of us." And then He goes to God and says, "God, I'm reminding you of what Your Word says. We just need Your help. We can't do this on our own." And here's what it says. Verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. We want to bless God. And if we'll bless God and put God first and praise God and just lift Him up and lower ourselves and lift Him up, I think God will fight for us. I think God will fight for you. And I think people around will say, you know what? Their God's the real God. We're not messing with them, but their God is the real God. I wanted to encourage you with that today. I want you to understand that we're talking about a guy who's not perfect. He messed up some things with his family. He did. He messed up some things for his nation for a while. He did. He wasn't perfect. But when he had opportunity to do right, he did right. And God bless that. God's not up there in heaven going, "Oh, sorry, Jehoshaphat, back there in chapter 17, chapter 18, you really blew it. So don't come crying to me now, chapter 20. Aren't you glad God's not like that? Aren't you glad he's willing to say, "Yeah, chapter 17, you're going to pay for that later. But you know what? I still am very proud of what you're doing in chapter 20. And I'm willing to pour it on you." Let's bow our heads for a moment and just a closing. Is there anyone that would say, "Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I believe, like you say about being saved. I don't know that I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I don't ever want to leave without asking that question." There would there be someone that would lift your hand? You say, "Pastor, that's me. I'd like to talk to you or your wife after church about salvation. I don't know for sure. If I died, I'd be in heaven. I might be in hell. I don't know. And that concerns me." Anyone with a lifted hand? That's me. Secondly, "Pastor, I know I'm saved, but boy, I get backslidden.